This is TWiT.
Microsoft unveiled its Windows 10 operating system yesterday. Devendra Hardawar is a senior editor and the lead mobile writer for VentureBeat, and he joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to you, Devendra.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Where did Windows 9 go? Did I wake up in the future? What year is this?
Well, I mean, 7, 8, 9, right? So, you know, insert your joke here or whatever. I don't know. Microsoft just decided there is no Windows 9, and they skipped straight to 10. So you could read into that what you want. I almost feel like they're trying to distance themselves completely from Windows 8 and just, like, you know, leave it behind. And this is just something. So Windows 10 looks a lot like Windows 7 with a few elements of Windows 8. And it's just hilarious. I'm confused, but also kind of excited because I actually prefer the more classic Windows style of Windows 7.
Sure. And in addition to that classic style, it looks like the start menu is back. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you could talk about whether or not that makes sense from an interface point of view.
Well, I think so. Windows 10 seems to be all about getting back to the core Windows users who use keyboards and mice. And Windows 8 was all about introducing this whole new touch interface. It brought some design elements from Windows Phone. And, you know, Windows 8 was good if you had a touchscreen, but very few people do. And it really left the core Windows users kind of confused. So a start menu like this, just like Windows 7, just like we've had since Windows 95, I feel is just so people know how to use it. It's how they've learned to use their computers, for almost two decades now. And for me, it makes a lot more sense. I think for a lot of users, they'll understand it more. And I also always felt the start screen in Windows 8, which was just this whole full screen, touch-friendly view, it was really disruptive for your workflow. Because if every time you went to it, it totally, you know, if you were in the desktop, you lost everything. And then you had to switch back and forth. So, yeah, I think for productivity, this works a lot better. And there's still, you know, buttons there. And there's a special mode for Windows 8 or for users with touch screens. So you kind of get the best of both worlds with Windows 10.
It kind of makes sense to add a live tiles to the start menu, and it kind of doesn't. It makes sense in the sense that we are all familiar with the start menu. We're all familiar with live tiles. Putting those two together is something we're all familiar with and to a certain extent expect. But it doesn't make sense in the sense that the start menu is a pure mouse and keyboard interface, and the live tiles are a pure touch interface. And combining them that way is kind of a strange way to grapple with Microsoft's core problem, which is they're trying to move everybody into the touch world without alienating people who are still using mice and keyboard. What else is Microsoft doing to get the interface right and to manage this sort of awkward transition from mice to touch?
Well, so Windows 10 is smart enough to know if you have a keyboard plugged into your computer or if you're using a touchscreen. So there's actually a whole separate mode for people if you have a touchscreen for a device like the Surface or something. Instead of the typical start menu, you get a whole kind of full screen view that looks very similar to the Windows 8 start screen. And when you put the keyboard back in, you go back to the plain old start menu. And I think that's a good balance between, you know, touch friendliness and the productivity and keyboard and mouse usability that people expect. I actually don't mind having the live tiles right there in the start screen or the start menu, because it's they don't take up much room and it is very useful for glanceable information. I'm glad they didn't just, like, stuff them into the background of the desktop or something, which after Windows 8, I probably would have expected somehow.
You know, it's they also announced something called Continuum for users
that's what
devices.
I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit more about that, because it's really an interesting new feature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it just what I said. When you plug in a keyboard and a mouse, you get your typical old start screen or start menu, and when you take away the keyboard, you get the bigger start menu that looks a lot like the start screen in Windows 8.
And that's automated, but can you choose between them if you want the usual interface on a touch device, for example? Can you choose that?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I haven't had a chance to test out yet. My download for the preview build is going on right now. I'm going to put it on a Surface and give it a good shot. But there are some other interface elements that change too for Continuum mode. I think the title bar gets a little bigger. Some of the, you know, the close and minimize buttons are a little bigger, so they're more touch friendly. So it is kind of interesting to see how Microsoft is juggling these two interface paradigms, whereas, Apple still has their things completely separate. OS X is totally separate from iOS, and there is really no sort of integration between them yet.
And you bring up an interesting point, which I'm sorry, Katie, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that's sort of interesting about what Microsoft's doing with Continuum is that it feels also like very much a response to, as Devendra mentioned, what Apple and Google have done. So Apple doesn't have something that works across all devices. Google has tried. Microsoft wants to make some sort of inroad that they really have an enterprise consumer that they could be working with, because all three of these companies and others are trying to become the single internet platform, especially as we start bringing in other devices, Internet of Things devices, et cetera. These are companies that are trying to become a standard of some sort. And so Microsoft sort of had to make this kind of move.
Yeah,
and you know you both mentioned iOS 10 and the touch features in there, and also Devendra, you mentioned the fact that
not iOS 10, Mike. Let's not make that mistake.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Very confusing. But really, when it's kind of an interesting historical fact that people have largely forgotten. But when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone in 2007. He boldly proclaimed with a slide and everything that that the iPhone was running OS 10. And it turns out that wasn't true. And here, again, Microsoft seems to be making claims that all their devices, including the mobile devices, will be running Windows 10. Is that really true? And if that's true, how are they doing that? It doesn't seem likely to me.
It's definitely more true than what Steve Jobs was proclaiming, because iOS kind of has some of the Unix stuff under, you know, under the hood that OS X does. But it looks like Windows 10 is just kind of continuing something Microsoft has been doing with Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. They both run, even Windows Phone has the Windows 8 kernel, and developers can actually create apps that they're not instantly compatible between both platforms, but you can easily transfer a Windows 8 app into Windows Phone. And it sounds like Windows 10 is just them moving even further on that. So that's a good news for developers, but it's also something Microsoft's been talking about for years, and it really hasn't been enough to convince developers to create, you know, amazing flagship Windows 8 apps. That's part of the big problem with Windows 8, and I think it's a good reason why Windows 10 is not as focused on those Metro apps.
Now, of course, this event I'm sorry, Katie, just one quick question. This event went into details about all kinds of enterprise and business-oriented features. And I was hoping for a big, splashy introduction of Cortana on the desktop, as has been rumored. Do you think that they're holding back for their conversation about consumers for that particular product? Or is that something they see as a business or even a developer product?
Yeah, this is a really strange. Yesterday's announcement was just so strange for Microsoft, because they definitely showed us a lot of early stuff, and they talked more about Windows 10 than I think a lot of people assumed they would. It just seems like they said there's going to be another event where they're going to talk about more of the consumer-facing stuff next year. And I assume Cortana is going to be a part of that. That just seems to be the way a lot of operating systems are going. You have to have some sort of voice interactive feature. And we're kind of seeing that. We're seeing Siri more integrated in OS X as well. So that would just make sense down the line. I don't know. I found it really interesting some of the things Microsoft did choose to focus on. You can run Windows 8 apps, the Metro apps, in actual Windows now. That's kind of hilarious and amazing. And also another thing, the command prompt got some updates. You can finally press Control V and copy and paste something into the command prompt. How many years after, you know, the 80s when DOS came out? It's hilarious.
Great. And Devendra, I just wondering, when will Windows 10 ship? When can we expect to see this?
I think they said late 2015. So it'll be a while. But if you're interested, you can put the preview build on your computer and actually give Microsoft some feedback. So it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft actually listens to what people are saying about it.
Devendra Hardawar is at VentureBeat.com, and you can follow him on Twitter @Devendra. Thank you so much for joining us today, Devendra Hardawar.
Thanks, guys.